Again, Brother Ron, thank you so much for letting me be here with you. I love your pastor. He's such a good man. And you've got a good man to follow, and I hope you'll do that. God placed him here and placed you here for a reason, for such a time as this. And there's a lot of folks around here that need Jesus, and there's a lot of chairs that need filling. And so I hope you'll do everything you can to bring folks to the Lord, get them into the church. You know, everybody's not going to go for it. You do realize that Jesus didn't win all that he talked to. So don't let the devil tell you, if you don't, that you're a failure. Because it's not up to you. If you can talk them into it, you can talk them out of it. And with this day and time of what they call easy believism, I'm telling you, just praying a prayer is not going to get it done, folks. Just praying a prayer or even telling somebody you're a Christian doesn't get it done. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you, if you think, if the devil's got you convinced you're okay for heaven, but there's no change in your life, then according to God, you didn't get it. And you need to get it. And tonight would be a good night to get that thing settled. And so I appreciate all that you've done. It's been such a joy. And look forward to coming to some of the if you have a special services down the line. I told your pastor, if he'd let us know, we'll try to get a crowd and come down here and support the meeting and just be here to help you. And that's what we want to do. We need to get back to churches helping each other and supporting one another. Nowadays, there's so much jealousy and so much envy. You know, well, his church is bigger than mine. Well, who cares? Listen, Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, pastored a church at 15 years old. The Metropolitan Tabernacle ran 15,000. And he was 15 years old. And they asked Charles Spurgeon, said, Brother Spurgeon, how do you know how are you satisfied with how many you have? He said, I only want to be accountable for the ones God wants me to be accountable for. And so listen, don't let the devil convince, well, you're a little church, you're not doing anything. Don't you believe that for a second. God uses the big ones, he uses the little as much when God is in it. That's the most important thing when God's in it. And so I want to encourage you and exhort you to just keep on keeping on for Jesus. We'll be praying with you about building a new building and getting in a new place. And I hope it'll be a blessing, and I know it will. But I want you to look at Exodus chapter 4. Stand with me, please, if you're able, for just a moment. We'll just read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray, and I'll give you the message. Exodus chapter number 4. Obviously, we know this is about the time of the coming out of Israel from Egypt. And many of you know the story of Moses and how he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. By the way, Moses' name was not Charlton Heston. All right? Just in case you're wondering. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks that get their religion from Hollywood or Hallmark. Don't get your religion from Hollywood. That was one of the best movies ever made, probably one of the most scripturally true movies ever made, but it's still Hollywood. And so here we have the Israelites about to come out of Egypt. God is setting the stage for their exodus. Notice in verse 1, and Moses answered and said, now God has called him to lead them out. Just like any good Baptist, he's got excuses. And he said, but behold, they will not believe me. Well, surprise, surprise. You ever talk to somebody about the Lord, they just look at you and say, I don't need that. I don't want what you're selling. Guess what? There's a lot of folks out here don't believe us. That's all right. Thank God for the ones that do. But he said, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. And for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. I don't blame him. The only good snake's a dead snake, as far as I'm concerned. I know they eat rats and other stuff like that, but I believe I'd rather have the rat than have the snake. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Sure. Sure I will, Lord. Sure I will. But the Bible said he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Father, we love you. And we sure thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I want to thank you personally for a wonderful 4 days of meeting or 4 meetings. And God, you've been good to us here. You've blessed us with your presence, not because of me, but because of you. And Lord, if somebody, these 4 services got some help, then that's all that really matters. God, we didn't come to do anything but be a help. Lord, we want to help this church. We want to pray for this church. We want to encourage this church to go on for Jesus. Lord, one day you're going to come back and get us, and all this will be a forgotten memory. But Lord, until then, help us to occupy until you come. So Lord, have your will and way in the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I wanted to really kind of aim this at the young folks, but there's not very many here. If you're 21 or under, raise your hand and don't lie. I knew both them two would lie, sure enough. That's why. 21 and under, all right. We've got, don't lie, preacher. All right, after I just talked how good you was. My gracious. No, this message is really a message that I have used before in Christian school chapel services and for young people. But as we know, the Word of God, the message for everyone is for everyone. You can use it for young people. You can use it for old people. You can use it for people in between. Here we have the story of Moses. God has called Moses to lead the people out. Moses comes up with a few excuses, and he had some others along the way. You know, like, I can't talk very well. He said, well, who's that with you? He said, that's my brother Aaron. He said, well, I'll just let Aaron be your mouthpiece. But did you know, once you read on from there, you'll find out that very seldom did Aaron speak for Moses? If you'll sell out to God, God can take whatever discrepancy you have or some problem you may have, he can take it and do something with it. So Moses said, well, they're not going to believe me when I tell them that I'm here to lead them out. They're not going to believe me when I tell them that you sent me. Well, God, in a bit of rehearsal, remember, God already knew what he was going to do. And God already knew that there was going to come a moment when Moses would stand before Pharaoh for the first time and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And of course, the Pharaoh would say no. And so God said, so we're going to show him who I am. And so here's a rehearsal. He said, what is that in thine hand? And Moses said, why, it's a rod. Nothing much to it. Now, this particular rod or walking stick, if you will, I use. I walk 2 to 4 miles every day, or try to, when the weather's okay. And this is good to have. Not because I need a crutch, but because I need a weapon. Sometimes you walk in a neighborhood and the dogs are out. I've been dog bit one time knocking on doors, and I promised myself it would never happen again. Now, I didn't quit knocking on doors, but I'm going to tell you right now, if I happen to be in Rock Hill and I come up to your door and you see me with this, don't call the cops. I'm not going to knock you in the head, but I'll tell you, if your dog comes out after me, I'm going to try to knock him in the head. Amen. But God asked Moses. He didn't say, what's in your pocket? He didn't say, what's in your heart? He said, what's in your hand? Because what was in his hand was noticeable. It was something that God already knew that he was going to you. The very same rod. And so here Moses tells him why it's just a rod. A man in my church, when we started Anchor Baptist Church back in 2012, he brought me this. He made this for me because he knew I liked to walk. Now, this one's got a rubber end on it. I doubt very seriously Moses' rod had a rubber end on it. But the fact that he was handling snakes, it might have had a rattle on the end of it. I don't know. But the point is that this is kind of similar to it. Not exactly, but it is, you know, it's a rod. In other words, this is an inanimate object. It has no life. It has no soul. This piece of wood is not going to heaven or hell. When God concludes the time of the Gentiles and puts this thing under fire, wherever this stick may be, it's going to go up in flames. Now, there's nothing special about this rod. I mean, it's special to me because someone gave it to me. It's special to me because I use it and it works. But there's nothing special. This is not a special kind of wood. I'm not sure what kind of wood it is, to be honest with you. But there's nothing. It probably wouldn't cost more than $20 if I bought one. So there's nothing great and exciting about a stick. But just remember, whatever there is, and this is what I really want to impress upon the young people and all of us. The devil will try to convince you that you're nothing. That you don't have the goods. That you cannot be used. God doesn't care about you. And then he'll say something like this, you're just a teenager. Well, let's expand that a little bit since we have more older folks. He'll tell you senior citizens, you're just too old. I hate when senior citizens tell me in my church, Pastor, I'm beyond doing. I'm just going to quit and give it up, let somebody else do it. No, no, no. If you're breathing, God can use you. And don't let the devil convince you that you are just an old person. You're not just a husband. You're not just a wife. You're not just a pastor. You're not just a Sunday school teacher. You're somebody if you belong to God. Amen. Moses said, they won't listen to me. And God said, I've already got it figured out. What's in your hand? And he said, a rod. Now, it's important when you read the Bible, and by the way, the King James Bible is the only one that's right. If you use anything else, you don't have a Bible. And if you don't agree with that, after service, I'll be more than happy to debate it with you. Because the King James Bible is the perfectly preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. But words are important in the Bible. I believe, you know what God said? He told John in the Revelation, he said, woe unto him. He said, you better not touch a jot or a tittle. Those are Aramaic punctuation marks. Every period is where it belongs. Every question mark is where it belongs. Every comma, every semicolon, every colon. Everything in the Word of God is where it belongs because God said what He meant and He meant what He said. And it's not for private interpretation. The same God that gave it to everybody exactly the same way. Now, if you don't believe it, that's your fault, not His. That's not the translator's fault, that's your fault. Moses could have easily said, why, it's a rod, and so what? But notice God said here, what is in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. No big deal. Nothing to write home about. Now, certainly, Moses had been a shepherd in Midian when God called him. So no doubt his rod was a little different, perhaps like a shepherd's staff. That had the crook on one end and the goad on the other. I think every Baptist preacher ought to have one. So when the folks get a little out of line, you can gently pull them back with the hook. But you know, some Baptists just aren't going to listen. And so that's when you turn the pointed end on them and say, you get where you need to be. Notice that the rod that Moses had and used, as we read the scripture, and for time's sake we won't go way into that, the rod that Moses used represented some things. things. First of all, it represented the identification of God's presence. God said, what's in your hand, Moses? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. All right, so it made a noise. But the Bible said that when he threw it down, God identified himself being there when he turned it into a serpent. But then you'll notice that God then issued his power to Moses when he said, pick it up by the tail. Now, even God knew not to say, pick it up by the head. I mean, listen, God's not a dummy. And I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. I'm telling you, God knew that Moses would have much rather grabbed it by the tail than grab it by the head. And then the Bible said when he did, it became a rod again. Well, that tells us, that indicates to us that God chose Moses to use that rod. He didn't throw it down and tell Aaron to pick it up. He didn't throw it down and say, Joshua, pick it up. He said, Moses, you're the man. I want you to pick it up because I want you to use it when I need you. Now, in the Bible, there are several types of rods. Now, this is the one that most young people don't like, but most modern young people wouldn't even recognize in the book of Proverbs. As you older folks going, oh, I know where he's going here. In Proverbs chapter 13, it's called the rod of correction. Now, you do realize that in Bible times, God was big on discipline. In fact, the Bible says that when God gave the law to Moses, he said, now listen, if the young folks get sassy, he didn't say anything about punching mom or daddy or cussing them, just getting sassy. He said, you take them outside the city and stone them to death. This world thinks corporal punishment is bad. I'd rather have the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning than have a rock upside my head. You remember, how many of y'all remember when mom or dad, now down here they use a switch. Did you ever use it? Where's my mother at? Did you ever use a switch on us? I don't remember it. But she had a strap. She had a belt. She had a yardstick. She had whatever she could find. But the Bible said in Proverbs that, now listen, the world says, spare the rod, love the child. Wrong. The Bible said, you spare the rod, you hate the child. That the stripes of the rod will not do damage to that child. Now, I'm not talking about abuse. Certainly not. I'm not talking about going to the extreme. But I tell you, can you imagine? Now what they would do, they would, if they used a rod, if they gave them lashes, 40 lashes save one, that's 39, they would take that young person, they'd take anybody out, but a young person included, and they would tie them to a pole and take the rod and apply the licks. You say, preacher, that is absolute. Listen, social service would have two strokes and a heart attack. But God said it won't hurt them. In fact, it'll help them. You know why school's like it is today? When I was in school, the teacher had every right to do whatever she had to. My youngest brothers, you remember Miss McGregor, don't you? Yeah, I knew he'd remember her. Miss McGregor was a African-American lady, a teacher, and she kept a little strap about that long. And she'd wait, and if you did anything bad, she didn't take care of it right then. She waited until nap time. She'd say, all right, put your head down on the desk. And we did, but we'd be looking both ways. because she'd come up behind you and pow! She'd have to say a word. You knew I'm guilty. And you didn't run, and you know what? You didn't run, Miss McGregor whipped me. You kept it to yourself, because if you told it at home, you'd get it again. That's kind of, what a dumb thing to do. Mom, the teacher was mean to me. I was bad. She said I was bad. Pow! Well, there was the rod of correction. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, the Bible talks about the Israelites in a battle, and Saul had demanded that during that battle, or during that time, that all of Israel was to fast. They couldn't eat until the battle was won. And the battle with the Philistines had gone back and forth, and it took several days. And finally, his son Jonathan comes along. He did not know of the edict that his father had given. And he noticed that all the soldiers were faint. They were just sitting around. They couldn't hardly get up and go. He said, man, what's wrong with you guys? He said, we're so hungry, we're about to starve to death, literally. And before they could say anything, he took a rod, just like this, and he found a beehive. And he poked up in that beehive, and he got some good old honey out of that beehive. And he said, and he fed his soldiers. And they said, oh no, Jonathan, don't do that. Your father said if anybody eats during this time, we will die. Well, of course, it didn't happen. So what was the rod in Jonathan's hand? It was a rod of collection. A rod of collection. But then you'll notice in Psalm 23 in verse 4, the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So it's not just a rod of collection and a rod of collection, but it's also a rod of comfort. Yes. You know, if you do something wrong, it's always good to get it out. Amen. Because there is a sense of relief and a sense of guiltlessness once it's been dealt with. The whole point of discipline is not to hurt someone, it's to give them an opportunity to relax. Now, the one good thing I have to say about, of many good things, I should say, my parents taught me that when we did something wrong, which was pretty regular, they would punish us, and then that was it. I don't ever remember them bringing it up again. You know, today, a lot of people carry a grudge, don't they? Or they'll get mad at you and they'll bring it up every chance they get. You've apologized 1,000 times and they've told you it's okay 1,000 times, but they'll bring it up every chance they get. It's a good thing our God's not that way, huh? He said, I'll put it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. I told my children when they were coming up, I'd have to punish them, and I did. I spanked them. I spanked them hard. I wanted them to understand. But then when it was all done, I didn't hug him and say, now don't worry, sweetheart. That you know, I didn't say it hurt me more than it hurt you. It didn't hurt me at all. I didn't spank him and say, ow! Didn't hurt me a bit. But what it did was it let me understand. I would hug them and say, now listen, it's all over. It's all done. Dad's not going to mention it to you again. That's the way God is, isn't he? Y'all with me tonight? Now, I know I'm not walking the aisles and carrying on. Y'all ain't shouting like a bunch of heathens. But I want you to get this message tonight. Because here's what I want you to notice in the scripture. God said, what is that in your hand? And Moses' response was, a rod. Not a special, just a rod. Young people, you're not just, you are just, you're young people. You folks are just people. You know, some may say, well, what have you done? that made you famous? Nothing. Well, does that mean that you're not usable because you're nothing? Young people, don't let the devil convince, and don't let your peers and those that you run with try to make you think that if you don't do what they do, then you're not going to be somebody. He said a rod. But now I want you to notice some things real quickly. Now let me get into the message. First of all, look at verse number 2 of the text. What do we see about this rod? And you're going to see the progression in Scripture of what God did with a rod. Notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod." So what do we find here? We find that what was in his hand was a common rod. Just a common rod. No doubt there were bunches of, they may not have been made exactly alike. I don't know if they had rod, staff factories back then. I don't know. But every man, and you got to understand too, that those folks back then did a lot of walking. They couldn't catch the Uber or the taxi. They didn't jump on an airplane. If they wanted to go somewhere, they jumped on the camel or they got to walking. And so they had something similar to this for several reasons. And I'm not going to go into all that tonight because we got to get moving here. But the point is, it was a common rod. It was not made of gopher wood. Well, I'll tell you, Lord, this rod here was made from the ark. Please tell me you don't believe that when somebody says to you, comes on TV and says, "Send me $50 and I'll send you a piece of Noah's ark." Because if you do, I'll give you one of my cards after the service tonight and I'll sell it to you for half. There are certain things that God has hidden. Certain things that were in fact special to God. But none of it started out extra special. Noah's ark started out as a forest of shittim wood. Very common wood in that part of the world. There was nothing special about the trees that he cut down. But man, by obeying God and God using what was not special, God did something very special. When God commanded Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant, that wonderful box that we talked about at Obed-Edom's house, that contained the Aaron's rod that budded similar to this, the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments, and the manna of showbread. And on top was the mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled once a year for the atonement of the people. And only the high priest could go in. That was a special box. But it didn't start out that way. It started out as wood. Now, it was covered in gold. You say, "Well, boy, that's special." Not to God, it isn't. You know why? Because the Bible says when we get to heaven, we're going to walk on it. God's going to pave heaven with gold. Pure gold. That you can see through. That's pure gold. Man can't make that. So it's not special to God. But when it was all put together and God's Shekinah glory fell on the tabernacle and enveloped the Ark of the Covenant, it became something special. Now, when Moses threw down his common rod, God turned it into a serpent. And then he took it up and it became a rod again. But by the way, same rod. It was a common rod. I want you to understand, don't let the devil or anybody tell you that you can't be used of God. Young people, you can be used of God. God wants to use you. But preacher, you don't understand. I don't have any special talent. I can't sing. I can't play the piano. I don't communicate well. I'm kind of shy. I'm introverted. I don't have any special talent. Hey, little as much when God is in it. And if you'll give yourself to God, let me help you here and I'll move on. God does not want ability. Amen.
He wants availability. He wants obedience. I believe in my heart, had God not, or if Moses hadn't thrown that rod down right then, that God wouldn't have used Moses. Because he smote the rock with that rod, you remember later? The second time, God killed him for it. I'll get to that in a minute. So we find it's a common rod, unknown, unable, and really unworthy. If I went down to the grocery store at Food Lion down here and walked up to the cash register with a buggy full of groceries and they said, that'd be $110, I said, here you go. This is priceless to me. It's worth the groceries. You'd hear it get on the intercom. Manager at register 4, please. You know that's right. Because to them, it means nothing. But remember, to your family, to your friends, to the people that know you, they may look at you as just a regular old Joe. But when you get put in the hands of an almighty God, God can take nothing and make something out of it. You're living on something He made out of nothing. He made the world out of nothing. He made the stars out of nothing. He made the planets. Hey, it didn't go boom and here we are. I hate to say this, but if you believe in evolution, you're a moron. And I'll tell you why. Don't get mad till I tell you why. Because here's what they'll tell you. There was a great big bang out in the middle of nowhere, and here we are. Can I ask you something real quick? If I had a hand grenade in my hand, and I pulled the pin, Brother Ron, and throwed it right here in the middle of the aisle, what would you do? But wait, why run? When it explodes, everything will be better. According to their logic. Have you ever seen dynamite create order? Don't be a moron. Somebody had to make it. And I know who He is. And like the old song says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. That's who made it. Now notice, second of all, look at verse 3 and 4 quickly. Not only was it a common rod, but notice it becomes a cast down rod. Now there's a truth here, folks. There's a truth here. Notice in verse 3, God said, cast it on the ground. Now most people would have had trouble even believing that a God would even speak audibly like that. And so for Moses to obey Him meant that he believed in something bigger than himself. Moses said, I am nothing, but You are something. Are you following me now? Remember how it started? A rod. But now all of a sudden God's involved in the program. And God is taking something that even Moses said didn't have much value. But God said, throw it down on the ground. He didn't say throw all your money on the ground. He didn't say sell your house and throw the mortgage on the ground. He said, take that thing that everybody says is nothing. Throw it down on the ground. Moses got his orders, but then notice in verse 3, we see Moses' obedience. God said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground. He didn't ask why. You ever found yourself asking God why? By the way, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with asking God why. But just remember this, God's plans are far above ours. And even if you don't fully understand why, always remember God said, I know my thoughts towards you. He knows what He's doing. Moses could have said, now God, I'll do it, but I don't get it. No, he just cast it on him. He got his orders. Now listen, I'm talking to all of us here now. If you want to be something for God and God gives you an order, just do it. That's what Nike says, don't they? Just do it. Just do it. God said, just do it, Moses. Notice in verse 4, and when Moses obeyed, God gave him a second order. In verse number 4, he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now that it's a serpent. You know, and serpents over there, you know, they didn't have black snakes and garter snakes. And no, they had cobras and vipers and pit vipers. I'm talking about snakes that can kill you. And I'm telling you right now, listen, when we were young, we caught garter snakes, but I even got over that. After a while, I got over that. I don't like a snake. And boy, my wife, I'm telling you, she teaches fourth grade. When they get to the part in the biology book about snakes and reptiles, she just tells them, go home and read that chapter and we'll skip it. God, I'm telling you the truth, she won't even touch it. If there's a snake on the page, she won't even touch the book. I'm telling you. Notice, when God told him to throw it down the first time, it was in Moses' control to do or not to do. When he picked it up after the second command, it was now in God's control. See what I mean? If you want to be something for God, you're going to have to cast yourself down and let Him pick you up. When you fall into God's control, He can do anything with you. But if you argue and complain and murmur and disobey, you just keep on being a rod. Don't you want to be more than just a rod? Can you say amen when I say this? God is more than just a God.
Amen.
Jesus is not just a Savior. He is the Savior. And notice the progression here now. Notice not only is it a common rod and a cast down rod, but now it becomes a converted rod. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 2. Of course, the Bible says, and the Lord said, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod is just a plain rod. But now after what's happened, look down in verse 17. Remember, I said every word in the Bible is important. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt take a rod? This rod. The one that Moses had in the beginning. That one that Moses was willing to throw down because God said so. The one that he was willing to pick it up when he was scared to death of a snake. Because the Bible said he fled when it first happened. Amen, I would too. But now all of a sudden, because God is now in control of a rod, guess what it is now? Guess how God refers to it now? This rod. Yeah, this one is now different from every other rod in the world. You want to know how you can be something for God? Give yourself to Him, let Him have your life, and you will stop being just a Christian, and now you can be this Christian. You can be the one that God can use. But first you have to be converted. See, God converted that rod when he made it a snake, because he knew he was going to use it again later the same way. Only it did even more the second time, as you know. It was a plain rod, but now it becomes a particular rod. And then look at verse number 20. The Bible said, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Boy, that's a big change from just a rod, isn't it? When he started, just a stick. But because God got a hold of it, it became this stick. And now when God is about to turn Moses loose on Pharaoh and let his people go, it becomes the rod of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God can take a nobody and make a somebody out of it if you'll just surrender your life to Christ. If God can take an inanimate object and make it a powerful weapon, don't you think He can do something with you? Y'all with me tonight?
I'm almost through. Real quickly, notice, go to chapter 7 with me. And I think you get the idea. I think you all are smart enough to understand where we're going here, but let me just read the scripture to you and I'll hurry along and we'll get out of here. Look at Exodus chapter 7 and look at verse number 9. The Bible said, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Remember, that was a rehearsal in chapter 2, or chapter 4, rather.
Now the Bible said, for the cast, and Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers. They're named in the New Testament, you know. That's Jannes and Jambres. Paul names them in the New Testament. These two sorcerers, you know what that means? They're witches. That's the devil's crowd. The devil's always going to try to counterfeit what God has. That's why there's umpteen hundred different Bibles, umpteen hundred different doctrines, umpteen hundred different churches, umpteen hundred different ways. But the Bible said there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. But notice what the Bible said. It said, and for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now remember, I believe Aaron's rod was Moses' rod, because God had provided Aaron as a helper. I think Moses said, here, take this. I've already seen God do it once. Let's show these people our God can do it. Yeah. So it becomes a conquering rod. It swallowed up them two serpents of the devil. And then it became a rod again. Now, maybe it was a bigger rod, because it done swallowed up two rods. I don't know if it was or not. I'm just telling you that when God's in control, you can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But then notice in chapter 5, look in chapter 5, go back a page or two, chapter 5, look at verse number 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac, this is God speaking, by the name of God Almighty, but by the name of Jehovah was I not known. Now we know who it is in control. Now it's not just God, it's Jehovah. And when you see that word or the word Lord in the Old Testament capitalized, he's talking about Jehovah.
Yes.
Talking about the God of gods. Amen? Hey, it becomes a convincing rod. You know what can happen when you get sold out to God? You can start winning people to Jesus. In Exodus chapter 7, remember when he went down to where Pharaoh and them were down at the Nile? Bible said that Aaron, that Moses handed him his rod. He said, Aaron, stretch forth my rod. And he did. And the water turned into blood. Turned into blood. Not fake blood. Real blood. The Nile and every water found in the country of Egypt turned to blood. All because God's rod was in control. God can do anything, can't he? In Exodus chapter 8, he held out the rod and the frogs came along. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 16, he held out his rod, remember the rod of God now, and the dust became lice. Remember that? In Exodus chapter 9, he held out his rod and it thundered and hailed fire. It hailed fire.
In Exodus chapter 10, he held out his rod, and the locusts showed up and devoured all the green in Egypt. But there's one thing I want you to remember. What happened to Egypt did not happen to Israel. Have you ever been somewhere and it rained on one side of the street, not the other?
Yeah.
It happens where I live all the time. There's a big mall across the street from us, Sandhills. And my wife used to work at a retail store there for a while. And she called me and said, is it rain at the house? I said, no, it ain't rained here in years. And she said, well, I'm telling you, it's storming and winds blowing bushes over. I'm talking about 2 minutes from where I live, on the other side of the woods. She'd come home after that. She'd say, well, did we get any? I said, we didn't get a drop. I don't understand that. Sometimes it happens. You know what? If it can happen naturally, then it can happen supernaturally. And God sent the plagues upon Egypt, but he spared his people. You see, the rod, when a rod becomes this rod and then becomes a rod of God, suddenly God's in control and God can do whatever he wants to. Young people, God can do whatever you want him to do in your life. If you'll let him, I'm telling you, he will do things for you that you have never thought possible. He said, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. But then notice it becomes a controlling rod. I'm going to hurry along because we've got to quit. Remember when they got to the Red Sea and boy, the Israelites said, man, you brought us out here, Moses, and we're between Pharaoh and the sea and we're going to die. And you know what they said? It would be better if we were back in Egypt eating leeks and onions and garlic. That was the whole problem. Eating the world's mess will make your breath stink. Say amen right there. You'll be satisfied with what makes your breath stink. Boy, God said, Moses, what are you crying for? I could just hear God just sort of sarcastically. Why don't you quit crying, Moses? Just go out on the sea and stretch forth thy rod. And he held it out and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea parted one side and the other, and 2.5 million Jews walked over on dry ground. It wasn't ankle-deep water. It wasn't muddy. It was dry. These liberals will tell you, well, they crossed on the shallowest part of the Red Sea, and the water was ankle-deep. Then guess what? The same rod that split it drowned Pharaoh and all of his army, chariots and everything, in ankle-deep water. That's a pretty powerful God, I'd say. Of course, I know better than that. I tell you, God's got an answer for all this dumb bunch out here that thinks they can trick you into believing something else other than the Bible. It becomes a controlling rod, victory over the impossible. When you let God have your life, he can give you victory. At Horeb, when they said, we need water, you brought us out here to choke to death. And God said, Moses, smite the rock. Take that rod. Now listen, if I went out here and found a boulder and took this rod and start to whack it on it, it'd probably break the rod. But remember, Moses' rod is not a rod. It's the rod of God. And he smote that rod. The Bible said the rock clave. He didn't beat little chips off of it. He hit it and it split. And 2.5 million people drank from that water for several days. You can't get blood out of a turnip, but if you let God use you, you can get water out of a rock. Amen? Sure. Well, let me give you the last thing, and I'm done. You folks have been so patient. I got so much more I could say, but I'm going to quit. Finally, well, some of you are going, thank God, man. But then we find out, now listen, finally it becomes a costly rod. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if God was in it, and God had it, and it was the rod of God, why was it costly? Because the second time, God said, speak to the rock, Moses. Just speak. See, Jesus was smitten the first time. They're not going to smite him the second time. When Jesus came the first time, they crucified him.
When he comes a second time, we're going to crown him.
Amen.
They're not going to put their hands on him the next time he comes.
Right.
They're not going to argue. They're not going to fuss. They're not going to threaten. And you know what the Bible said he's going to do? He's going to rule with a rod of iron.
That's right. Amen.
No Supreme Court.
Come on.
No World Health Organization.
Right. Right.
No World Bank. No World Council of Churches.
Amen.
It's God's word and that's it. And you take it, you like it or lump it.
Right.
But when God said, Moses, smite the rock, don't you know the devil, the first thing he did was got that crowd riled up. And they finally got under Moses' skin.
Yes.
Brother Ron, you ever had that happen to you where you tried your best to be patient with people and they just on and on until finally you just can't hardly take it no more?
Mm.
Now, he's such a mild-mannered guy. I wish I had his composure. I mean, he just seems like nothing bothers him. And I'm telling you, that stuff would bother me. I'd get sideways after a while. And I wouldn't hit the rock, I'd hit them. Say amen right there. Praise God. You see, God gave Moses a very simple direction. Speak to the rock, Moses, and I'll send out water. You know, God gave Adam and Eve a very simple command. Don't eat of that tree. Only rule they had to keep, and they couldn't even do that. When Lot and his family came out of Sodom, God gave them one simple command, don't look back. And she couldn't keep it. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Jehu? He was going to be the king of Israel. He was the king of Israel. And he went to the Lord and said, should I go after this bunch? And said, God said, not this time, Jehu. Just let them go. We'll take care of them later. And he got ahead of God. He jumped on his chariot. The Bible said he drove his chariot furiously. And went after the enemy, and they killed him. God gave him one command, don't go. And he went, and he paid for it with his life. In other words, folks, young people, open, if you'll let God have you, and when he says go, you go. When he says don't, don't.
Amen.
Just plain and simple, just do what he says.
Amen.
And it won't cost you. There's a lot of folks that have turned against God or disobeyed the Lord. I'm talking about good people. People born again who try to live for God, but they just got, I don't know, something happened. The world got in their eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And they went back on God. And they're suffering today. And they don't understand why. And then you go to them and say, well, let me tell you why. Because you did not listen. You didn't let God have you. And they'll say, well, what do I do? Let God have you. Well, I know, preacher, but is there anything else? See, they want to have control. And you're not going anywhere for God while you're in control. But if you'll let God have control, listen. This was the last time God allowed Moses to use the rod of God. He smote the rock. He said, Moses, you're not going to get to go over. I'll let you see it. He said, but you're not going to go over. I'm going to kill you up on the mountain. So I've already got Joshua picked out to take over. Don't you know Moses had to be discouraged about that? Oh, listen, after all he'd been through for 40 years in the wilderness, when they were less than 2 weeks from where they wanted to go. But because that crowd wouldn't let God have control, he said, I'm going to kill this generation. I'm not going to let them see the promised land. And then Moses, of all things, at the last hour, disobeyed God. And you know what that tells me? That God means what he says.
Yes.
And he says what he means. Church, if you want revival, do what God says.
Amen.
If you want revival, don't do what God says. And what I mean by that is if he says don't, don't. If God says do it, you do it. If God says don't, don't. If God leads this man in a direction, you just follow him.
Yes.
If he's not right, God will change it. God will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be just a rod. Be the rod of God.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and